hear the sound of a mighty rushing wave.
Welcome to Issues weekly broadcast on Spirit FM 88.3. Romans chapter 13 verse 11 to 12 says, "And that knowing the time, that now is the high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light." On this broadcast, Brother Eben and his team reveal supernatural visions, dreams and prophecies with the accounts of the Bible, real testimony soundbite of heaven and hell that can affect your life eternally. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on earth. Topical areas include the reality of life, heaven and hell, the afterlife, times, and many more. This program is live every Saturday from 8 to 10 p.m. Be blessed as you are encouraged to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling.
Prophecies fulfilled, signs of the times, they're appearing everywhere. I can almost see the Father saying, "Son, go get my children."
Very good evening to everyone. We thank God, another Saturday, 4th June. And happy birthday to the manager, Spirit FM, Martin, and NBY. Interesting, 4th June. And, well, we thank God for this first Saturday of June. Indeed, it's always a privilege to come your way. I'm Eben, and I'm going to be with you from now till 9:30, and you know, for the last 2 weeks, I've started this talk about building our faith in these evil days, in the times we are in. You know, there's this interesting verse, which I think, let me just start off with it. John 16, verse 13. Interestingly, tomorrow is Holy Ghost Day, Pentecost Day, so it's still in order. "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." He will show you things to come. Interestingly, we don't often talk about this, one of these roles of the Holy Spirit. This is a role, one of the roles of the Holy Spirit, but we don't often talk about it. But he is to show us things to come. And indeed, he has been showing us things to come. Most times, unfortunately, we are not interested in knowing the things to come when he shows us. And even when he does, we don't even want to pay emphasis and pay attention to it. But by the grace of God, on this program, we do pay attention to it. So that's the reason why I've been talking about these things on this program, preparing listeners for the times ahead. And I believe it's just spiritual wisdom to follow what the Holy Spirit says we should do in these days. People can scoff, people can ignore, people can just downplay the things that the Holy Spirit says, but then it's just a matter of time. The reality comes to play, and that's one important thing, one dangerous thing when you ignore and disregard what the Holy Spirit says, prepare for, or what is to come. Shows us what is to come, and we don't pay attention to it. And we'll be first looking at the news, talking about some of the things coming, happening in the course of the week. And I'll be continuing on the Faith Building Series, tonight's edition. If you are feeling sleepy, try not to sleep, because it's quite interesting. I mean, I'm going to talk about and play something very, very interesting that I believe will build your faith, the beginning of building your faith. I mean, we have to really put in a lot of effort. And, you know, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. There are some things you hear, and it really pushes you to another level in your faith building process. So, Let's start off with some of the news, and then we would continue with the other things. So, you know, we are in a very chaotic world now. This week, the rich people, the powerful people, the Bilderbergs, they had their meeting in the U.S., and it's a secretive meeting, though they give the list of participants this year. They've been given, from 2016, they give the participants of the meeting, but that's for the, then they'll give the topics to be discussed. But the content, that one, no way, they won't talk about it. But the topics, you know, I mean, Russia, supply chain, you know, I mean, the major things happening in the world, yeah, and, see, they are the shakers and the shapers of the society. So, we have the World Economic Forum, we have the Bilderbergs, you know, so they met, I think, a month ago, the World Economic Forum recently, no, I think 2 weeks or so, and then now the Bilderbergs, and, you know, they are the ones planning the next stage of the world. You know, as if they own the world, but it's even I look at the things they do, I read some of the things they plan and all that. The interesting part of it all is they think they are wise, but they don't know that their so-called wisdom is just placed into the hands of God as to the plans of God. So they think they are wise, but they don't know that God's wisdom supersedes theirs, and their actions are just, they are just like pawns in the hands of God. Fulfilling end time scripture. So, they can do their worst, but their worst self fits into the word of God and to the plans of God. So we are not concerned. We are not bothered about whatever they want to do or whatever they plan to do. They can do their worst, but God is in control. All right. So, you know, China is also making moves gradually to take Taiwan. It's just a matter of time. They will also take Taiwan comfortably. And so China enters Taiwan's air defense zone this week. That was May 31st. So China's Air Force has entered Taiwan's air defense zone involving 22 fighter jets and early warning and anti-submarine aircraft. Taiwan deployed combat aircraft to warn away the Chinese jets, also using missile system to monitor their movements. Officials have labeled the military activities gray zone warfare, claiming the repeated incursions are designed to test the island's responses. You know, and if you know the size of Taiwan and the powerful force of China, you know, this one, when they go attacking, it won't be like Russia suffering with Ukraine, struggling to achieve their aims. This one, it will just be a complete walkover, because Taiwan is just no match at all. This one there, nothing like surprises taking place. They are just no match to China. And see, this is a very serious issue, because when they choose to take Taiwan, who is going to confront China to fight with China? I mean, they will just sit far back and watch. And is the location of Taiwan is not like Ukraine, where Russia and the EU and US have been sending missiles and equipment to help increase their support to fight Russia. Taiwan's location is like that. When China surrounds, you know, last a few weeks ago, they did the surrounding of Taiwan by their military, navy, and all. When they surround the island, it's a small island, and they take over, where is help coming from? So that's, they are in a very more difficult situation. But, you know, that's the world we are in. Wars and rumors of wars keeps going and escalating. You know, Iran is also, you know, preparing their nuclear behind the scenes. The Middle East, Syria is beginning to boil again. Turkey, Russia issues. You know, a whole lot of conflicts, rumors of conflicts and here and there. But then, also an aftershoot of the Russia-Ukraine war, African Union head tells Putin Africans are victims of Ukraine conflict. So the AU head, Macky Sall, on Friday, that's the Senegalese president, I believe, on Friday, that's yesterday, urged Russian President Vladimir Putin to take into account the suffering in African countries from food shortages caused by Moscow's military campaign in Ukraine. Putin hosted Senegalese President Macky Sall, who chairs the AU, African Union, at his Black Sea residence in Sochi on the 100th day of the Moscow's offensive in Ukraine. With global food shortages and grain supply stuck in Ukraine ports high on the agenda, Sall asked Putin to become aware of our countries, even if they are far from the theater of action. And we are victims on the economic level of the conflict. So he said it was important to work together so that everything that concerns food, grain, fertilizer is actually outside of Western sanctions imposed on Moscow after Putin sent troops to Ukraine on February 24th. Sal also said that due to Western sanctions, we no longer have access to grain from Russia, and especially fertilizer that is crucial for Africa's already deficient agriculture. That really creates serious threats to the food security of the continent, Sal added. In his remarks in front of reporters, Putin did not mention grain supplies, but said Russia was always on Africa's side and was now keen to ramp up the cooperation. At the new stage of development, we place great importance on our relationships with African countries, and I must say this has had a certain positive result, Putin added. Turnover is growing, he added. This year, even in the first months of this year, it has grown by more than 34%. Washington and Brussels have imposed unprecedented sanctions against Moscow, pushing Putin to seek new markets and strengthen ties with countries in Africa and Asia. He goes on to say that the Kremlin said the two leaders discussed expanding political dialogue between Russia and African Union, as well as economic and humanitarian cooperation. Speaking to reporters earlier Friday, Putin's spokesman said Putin would explain the situation with grain supplies stuck in Ukraine ports to Sal. With a high degree of probability and confidence, I can assume that the president will give exhaustive explanations of his vision of the situation with Ukraine, grain, Kremlin spokesman Dmitry Kreskov said. He said Putin will explain the real state of affairs. You know, this whole sanctioning of Russia is, I mean, to me, it's absurd. It makes no sense. I mean, it makes no sense because the sanctions we are putting on Russia, you know that these sanctions are going to affect other countries. So if truly you were concerned about the rest of the world, you will not put in such sanctions. Because if you put in sanctions that cannot make the supplies of fertilizer to the rest of the world possible, including you, your own countries, you, the countries giving the sanctions, it's affecting your agricultural system, it's affecting your food supplies. But yet, because of an agenda that has been set, so you don't care about the ripple effects of the masses, because you, the world leaders, they will eat anyway. It doesn't matter. If there is only one bag of food left, the president will still get it anyway. So they don't care about the harm they are causing by these sanctions. But, you know, because it's a plan, it has to happen. So they don't care. They are just doing what they have to do. But, you see, this week they've added more sanctions again. You see, so the case gets worse, not because, yes, for the war, it's a senseless war, there are no doubt about it. But it's the West that is compounding the after effect of this war, because Had it not been for these sanctions that they've put on Russia, the food situation in the world would have been different today as we talk. But, you know, the sanctions, and they keep adding, and they promise to keep adding. You know, so they are just compounding the situation, and Africa is the one continent that is really going to suffer a lot, because you know, you know, we know our case already, so we don't have to talk much about it. But that's the reality on the ground. So, and the next news, the headline, Ukraine war, EU bans most Russian oil. And that's the, when you ban this Russian oil, the prices will go up for the rest of the world. The world economy will be affected. Inflation will be affected. See, so this whole thing, in saying you are punishing Russia, you are virtually punishing the whole world. You are punishing the whole world indirectly and directly as well. So the EU nations on Friday declared a ban on most Russian oil imports and cut Russian bank Sberbank from the global SWIFT messaging system. EU proposes to block 90% of Russian oil imports by the end of the year. The move comes as OPEC Plus nations decided to boost oil production in July, even as oil prices continued to rise. You know, so that's one of the side effects of this war, and we are seeing it here. The next news, which I saw this week, Ghana, this headline says, high cost of farm inputs, agrochemicals will affect crop yields in 2022. So farmers in Upper West region say the high cost of farm inputs will affect crop yields for 2022 farming season, warning that there could be possible food shortages if government does not drastically subsidize inputs. Let me repeat. There could be, they are warning, no, the farmers, there could be a possible food shortage, or there could be possible food shortages if government does not drastically subsidize inputs. And this one, we know it's not going to happen. There's not going to be, government is not going to do that. So there we go. According to farmers, hikes in farm inputs are compelling them to farm at below average capacity. They want government to release and subsidize farm inputs on a timely basis, else Ghanaians should brace themselves for hikes in food stuff. Speaking to City News, farmers bemoan that the over 50% hike in farm inputs, fertilizer, agrochemicals are making the venture more challenging, and thus will negatively affect crop yields and food security. Commercial farmer Awin Tuma Akande said, most of us farmers are running out from farming maize this year if prices of fertilizer are not reduced, because in some places they sell them at 400 cedis and 450 cedis compared to last year where it was 120. And if nothing is done about the situation, by 2023, Ghana will be having a problem on the food security side. For those who don't understand what he said, you know, the food for 2023 will largely and mostly be planted in 2022. So if you are experiencing problems in 2022, it doesn't take rocket science to know that 2023 will be a problem year. I mean, this is simple logic. Whatever you sow, that's what you reap. So if you sow very little in 2022, it's automatic that 2023 is going to be crazy. And that's exactly what the farmers are saying. So a farm input like condem was sold around 25 cedis last year, but now it is 48 cedis. That's over 50% increase. Also, fertilizer is going for between 400 and 500. So if you don't have the money, you cannot farm this year. There will be a food shortage because only a few and only those who can afford can farm this year. And also, the farmers may have to reduce the number of acres farmed this year. Mumuni Zakaria, a farmer, lamented. Another farmer, David Yawani, explains why he will not farm this year. Quote, last year I farmed maize, rice and millet, but this year because of the high cost of fertilizer and agrochemicals, I cannot farm. Last year some agrochemicals were 25 cedis, this year is 50 cedis. Again, fertilizer last year was 200, but now it's about 400. If I check the cost of inputs, if I keep the money and after the farming season I use to buy food stuff, is better than farming this year. unquote. And this is a very serious statement. Fertilizer and agrochemical distributors in the region blamed high import duties, the depreciation of the city, and high fuel prices for the hikes in farm inputs. They assent that the situation could get worse if the government does not address their concerns. Warehouse manager of Petasco Enterprise, Yudana Caswell, said whilst PFJ fertilizer increased from 53 cedis last year to 160 cedis this year, fertilizer in the open market moved from 250 Ghana cedis last year to 450 this year due to transport and import costs. Last year, it cost us 9 cedis to transport a bag of fertilizer from Tema to Bogatanga. This year, it is costing us 15 cedis to transport from Tema to Bolga. Transportation and importation costs have gone high. The depreciation of the cedi is accounting for the high prices of farm inputs and agrochemicals. But the Upper East Regional Director of Ministry of Food and Agriculture, Francis Eno, explains the cause of or for the hikes in farm inputs and encourage farmers to consider organic fertilizer as an alternative to boost productivity. The prices are actually higher compared to last year, and that's from the international market because the fertilizer that we use is imported from the international market. And most of the fertilizer are coming from Ukraine and Russia, and their war has made it hard for the whole world. For this year, subsidized NPK and urea fertilizer is going for 160 per 25 kg, which is almost thrice the price last year. And on and on and on. You know, so this is the reality. This is Ghana's report. I think this week I saw it's a child or so, they've declared a state of emergency on food crisis. You know, so for the AU leader to travel to Russia to talk to Putin should give you an indication of what is really happening behind the scenes. You know, unfortunately, we find ourselves in a continent where, or in this country where, apart from when we lose out our local food, we largely depend on imported, you know. And as I told you last week, an importer told me, she told me that we are depending on old stocks in this country. So when we run out of the stocks, that is where the reality will begin to unfold. You know, so these are the issues, you know, I've been talking about this, you know, not to scare you, but to understand what is happening and what is ahead so that you can know what to do and how to do things. Okay, so the next, Indian jails 30 Christians on charges of forced conversions as persecution mounts. So as many as 30 Christians were jailed last month on charges of forced conversion in just one state alone, including 20 in 1 week, according to a U.S.-based persecution watchdog, which says churches now fear they may be implicated in a case if they conduct even small group prayers. The latest incident that led to an arrest of a Christian worker took place May 31st in the northern state of Uttar Pradesh, when a mob of extremist Hindu nationalists broke into a home of a local pastor who was praying with his family. Oh, that's also serious. I mean, home alone, family. Wow. Dragged him from his home and assaulted him before handing him over to the police. The police then arrested and imprisoned the pastor, charging him with deliberate and malicious acts against another religion whilst failing to investigate the assault against him. Wow. We have arrived at a critical juncture where practicing faith of our choice is equated as crime and punished accordingly. A local Christian leader from Uttar Pradesh was quoted as saying, "We need to be alert and prepared to face the challenge. Almost every pastor and leader is targeted in UP, that's Uttar Pradesh. These are the testing times." in a separate incident in the same state on May 29th, about 10 young Hindu nationalists interrupted a Sunday service where 40 Christians were praying and worshipping, stole the pastor's Bible and shoved him to the ground. The police arrested the church's pastor and filed a formal complaint against him and refused to book the assailants. We are scared to even conduct small group prayers, even that can be framed as forcible conversions. The house church pastor was quoted as saying, "Our lives are in danger. As Christian identity could put us behind the bars, and we don't see any way out. Only God could or should intervene." Uttar Pradesh is one of the 11 Indian states which have adopted an anti-conversion law, which presumes that Christians pressure Hindus to convert to Christianity. India's anti-conversion laws are not a means to protect religious freedom, but rather a mechanism for the government to oppress and punish religious minorities. ICC, that's International Christian Concern, President Jeff King said, "Our Indian brothers and sisters are facing increased levels of persecution since the adoption of these laws in 11 states. India claims to be the world's largest democracy, yet shamelessly violates human rights. We pray for the continued resilience of the Indian church and for the injustice to come to an end." While Christians make up only 2.3% of India's population, Hindus comprise about 80%. The country's anti-conversion laws presume that Christians force or give money to Hindus to persuade them to convert to Christianity. Some of these laws have been in place for decades in some states. Radical Hindu nationalist groups frequently use the laws to make false charges against Christians and launch attacks on them under the pretext of an alleged forced conversion. For India's Christians, 2021 was the most violent year in the country's history, according to a report by the United Christian Forum, which reported at least 486 violent incidents of Christian persecution in the year. The UCF attributed the high incidence of Christian persecution to impunity, due to which such mobs criminally threaten, physically assault people in prayer before handing them over to the police on allegations of forcible conversions. Police registered formal complaints in only 34 of the 486 cases, according to UCF. Often communal sloganeering is witnessed outside police stations where the police stand as mute spectators, the UCF report states. Hindu extremists believe that all Indians should be Hindus and that the country should be rid of Christianity and Islam, an open doors fact sheet explains. They used extensive violence to achieve this goal, particularly targeting Christians from the Hindu background. Christians are accused of following a foreign faith and blamed for bad luck in their communities. Wow. This persecution. Serious. Okay, so last two items. We finish off in the United States, a country that is broken down morally. Federal agencies celebrate Pride. You know, June is Pride Month, so you can imagine what is happening this month. And if you are wondering where America's heroes rank in the President Joe Biden's list of priorities, then try below the rainbow flag. You know, this week they had a Memorial Day where they celebrate the veterans who have fought for the nation and all. But looks like the LGBT celebration overrides even the veterans. And that's what this article is about. It says, while federal agencies have been tripping over themselves to pledge allegiance to LGBT activism, two couldn't be bothered to recognize the fallen heroes who make our freedom possible. Despite a government-wide tweet festival over Pride Month, the Departments of Justice and Treasury managed to ignore Memorial Day altogether. Thanks to social media, Americans are getting a good look at the main obsession of this administration, which has devoted more than 30 posts to LGBT extremism from its official account. but couldn't spare half that attention to the men and women who gave it all. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen, who was probably too busy promoting abortion as the solution to our tanking economy, failed to mark either occasion. And then goes on and said the Family Research Council's Executive Vice President, retired Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin, could only shake his head at the administration's tunnel vision. He says it's outstanding that any government agency would refuse to acknowledge and honor the military men and women who died fighting for this nation. We see this administration setting aside an entire month to recognize and celebrate the LGBT community, whilst at the same time we have a large number of homeless veterans and others with severe disabilities and PTSD. When are we going to set aside the designated period of time to help them? But then it doesn't end there, because Biden has now is also added intersex to presidential proclamation in recognizing LGBT Pride Month. So the president has added intersex to the list of sexual identities his administration is recognizing as part of Pride Month. In a separate move, the administration is once again flying the LGBT rainbow flag outside the U.S. embassy in Vatican. On Tuesday, Biden issued a proclamation on Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, Transgender, Queer, and Intersex Pride Month, ahead of the month of June, which LGBT activists and advocates refer to as Pride Month. This year's proclamation includes individuals who were born intersex, marking a departure from last year's proclamation that only recognized people who self-identify as LG, that's lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and queer. The term intersex, those who have chromosomal anomalies that lead to disorders of sexual development, refers to individuals who have physical characteristics of both male and female anatomy. A study conducted by researchers at Istanbul University in Turkey found that 1 in 1,000 newborn babies examined had intersex characteristics. Biden used this year's presidential proclamation to warn that the rights of LGBTQI+ Americans are under relentless attack. The president lamented the onslaught of dangerous anti-LGBTQI+ legislation enacted at the state level, and then explicitly taking issue with laws that he claimed are targeting transgender children and their parents and interfering with their access to health care. You know, and you wonder, he goes on and on, you read the report, how children, I read one report, for instance, in one school district, children are allowed to change their identity, their gender, surgery, and all be funded by the government without parents' knowledge. So by the time the parents will know, the procedure has been done. I mean, it's ridiculous how all these things are being allowed. Children are being targeted. The under school, for instance, they did a camp meeting, a seminar for the children, indoctrinating them without parents' consent and all. And when parents want to know instances where police is being called on to arrest parents who try to complain at PTA meetings and all that. You know, this is all, the society is intentionally destroying the children. And by extension, they are using the media as well, the entertainment and all. So that's why, at least, we fortunately don't have these things in our schools. We don't have it. They try to sneak it in, but it backfired big time, and they are still struggling with it. So at least we stop them with their comprehensive sexuality education thing. But in as much as we've stopped them from contaminating our children from the public school or from the school educational systems, we've not stopped it from the media landscape. So the entertainment aspect is still there, because there are channels that are showing these polluted cartoons on our networks in Ghana. And that's where challenges. How many parents really understand the dangers that we have on our screens to protect their children? So, I mean, this thing, I'll never stop talking about it, but as many as listen to it and are careful about what their children watch, it will help them. All right, so Eben, I'll be back with you after a short while. Listen to this beautiful song by Twila Parry. God is in control. Beautiful, beautiful song by Twila Parry. Indeed, we thank God for the God who is in control. I like this song. It's an old song. I remember those times when I was in university, long, long, long. But, you know, good songs never go old. You know, the words are even more true today. There's no time for fear. This is a time for faith and determination. Indeed, that's why we are talking about building our faith. Don't lose the vision here, carried away by the motion. Hold on to all that you hide in your heart. There's one thing that has always been true. It holds the world together. No, there's one thing that's always been true. Yes, it holds the world together. God is in control. We believe that his children will not be forsaken. I repeat that. We believe. Maybe you don't believe, but I believe that his children will not be forsaken. God is in control. We will choose to remember and never be shaken. There is no power above or beside him. We know God is in control. History marches on. There is a bottom line drawn across the ages. Culture can make its plan. Oh, but the line never changes. No matter how the deception may fly, there is one thing that has always been true. It will be true forever. He has never let you down. Why start to worry now? He is still the Lord of all we see, and he is still the loving Father, watching over you and me. Wow, God is in control. Beautiful song. So we are talking about building our faith in these times, you know. And last week I was talking about how we read the word of God and how we see the word of God. You know, how do we see it? Are we just reading it as just some history book? You know, when you read the passage of Exodus, you know, God taking them from Egypt, the miracles and all. Do you just see it as some history or something from a God that is still a living God that can still do what he did then? You know, it's so easy to just read some of these things as, oh, God did it. Yes, the times of old, 4,000 years ago, this 1,000 years ago. You know, it's like, well, history. It's just one of those things. God did, God did, God did. But sometimes, so we just leave it there. So we read the word of God and we draw a line. As for this part, it's history of things that God did. So we don't even imagine the possibility that God can still do miracles in our lives or things in our lives or things in our situations. So we struggle to accept the fact that God can still be in control no matter the situation we find ourselves in the year 2022 or 2023 or whatever beyond. So, well, he did it in the Old Testament, but, you know, we are in a modern age, computer age, AI, artificial intelligence era, computer, you know, IT, blah, blah, blah. You know, things are modern, you know. So we don't want to accept that the same God in the Bible, the aspect we believe God, oh yes, but the practicability, is it possible? You know, we struggle in some instances. But the essence of these discussions are to let you have a different perception about the word of God. We should move beyond just seeing it as history to the fact that it is still possible in our time and in our lives and in our situations that we find ourselves and we are going to find ourselves in. You know, I've been saying it, that we are entering, we've entered the season naturally. It's just unfolding gradually where we will need God more than ever before in our lives. Oh yes, we are going to need God in the times ahead more than ever that we've done in our lives. So, and you see, we can only connect to God through faith. I mean, that's why we have to build our faith now that is convenient. Now that we have the opportunity. Now that things are not as bad as it's going to be. this is the time to build our faith ahead of the times ahead. So that's like you are not caught off guard. You will not be stranded when the hard times come. You will not be disappointed when the difficult days come. You will not blame God. You will not give up the faith. You will not leave the faith and all that. Because you will be prepared spiritually, physically, emotionally, and all psychologically when those days come. For the, those days, yes, it's coming. The word of God even promises that evil days will be, you know, a lot of things, you know, perilous time shall come. And so it's not out of context that difficult days will be coming in the last days. I mean, it's biblical. And if you look at the news and you look at the forecasts that the experts and all are talking about, there's no doubt that the world economy is about to take a nosedive. Let me just read something, I think, from this one. J.P. Morgan is one of the leading, you know, financial institutions in the world. So J.P. Morgan Chase CEO, Jamie Dimon, publicly admitted this week that an economic hurricane, quote unquote hurricane, is rapidly approaching. Jamie Dimon is no meteorologist, but the JP Morgan Chase CEO is predicting an economic hurricane caused by the war in Ukraine, rising inflation pressures, and interest rate hikes from the Federal Reserve. That seems to be referring to the U.S. But we haven't seen in the Bank of Ghana also interest rates going up. Right now, it's kind of sunny. Things are doing fine. Everything, or everyone thinks the Federal Reserve can handle this, Dimon said at a Bernstein conference. I'll quote that. That hurricane is right out there, down the road, coming our way, unquote. JP Morgan Chase is one of the most important financial institutions in the entire world. So when their CEO talks about things like this, it's not out of place. He understands. You know, you can easily see, you know, some of these economic indicators are not, it's scientific. So it's predictable in some instances. When you see the curves and you see the graphs and all, you can predict where some things are going to head, whether upwards or downwards and all. So that's the world we are in. But we don't care about whatever they say. We don't care. We know, we have to know what they are saying. We have to know what is happening and all, so that it helps us to prepare better. But we don't want to know what they are saying and they are doing and all that to put fear into us. Rather, is to rather equip us and prepare us and know how to stand our ground on our faith. That's the whole essence of the things we talk about, to know, discuss, I mean, give the warnings and all, preparing us for the times ahead. This evening, let me start off with that reading. Okay, let me play the file first before I read the word of God. And you would understand, you know, when we read Exodus chapter 16, the book of, you know, the Israelites, God provides for them in the wilderness food to eat. It's like, we've read it. I mean, maybe when you watch Moses movie, we see it and all. But let's listen to this file, and then I think your understanding and perception of the word of God in that regard will be heightened to another level.
The baptisms and miracles that are taking place in Angola regarding the Luanda for Christ campaign would not be complete without the mention of the manna that falls every Wednesday and Friday at the Number Adventist Station in the southern part of Angola. Manna has been falling in this drought-stricken area since 1945, and we praise God for providing to His people.
We have always had a poor harvest in this area, but God has always provided for His people. My sister can testify that they survived on manna when times were hard at the Number Adventist Mission. And till today, people are still eating it.
Curiosity killed the cat, and so SID Media's director, Noel Sibanda, visited the area in the southern part of Angola to get the first-hand information And as they say, the proof of the pudding is in the eating.
Here we are at Nama Adventist Mission Station. We came, we saw, we smelt, we touched, and now I'm testing for the third time just to convince you that indeed this is manna from heaven. The taste, I can't describe it. It tastes of everything that I've ever eaten that is so good.
I've also come to taste the manna, and I can't really describe how it tastes like. It is like honey-like, it's like a cake. I really don't have words to describe how it tastes like. Exactly, I don't know how to describe it. I just know that it's white and it's sweet. But the real taste, I can't have anything to compare with.
This story of Namba, I've been just reading it in Storytime in Africa book. I taught my kids when they were growing with that story. And when we heard that, when my kids heard that we are going to Angola, they asked me, "Mommy, is that the same place where manna was falling?" I said, "Yes, but it should be in Angola, but I don't know exactly where that place is." But when we came here in Angola, we inquired of the place. They said, "Yes, actually, even now, manna is still falling." And I'm happy that I've visited the place today. And I picked a few pieces of it. I tasted it. It's very nice. When you are eating it, it's like something mixed with sweet, and there is a good fragrant on it. So you cannot really explain the way it is, but it's a very nice food.
Wow, it has been really a great experience here, because stories have been going all over. I have heard about it. I tried to Google about it. And of course, when I Googled it, I found a small piece by Signs of Times, which was documented there. But even after I saw it, there were still doubts from my colleagues that I informed about it. Well, this morning we've made it to come here, and I still can't believe that I'm here. And we've got a bit of it here. It's a bit hard. The texture is hard. I think it has dried up a bit. It's more or less like a cake's icing sugar that has been dried, because it's very tasty, very sweet.
The history of manna falling at Namba Adventist Station in the southern parts of Angola dates back to more than 50 years ago, when there was a famine in this area. Villagers had to walk long distance to look for food, and those who harvested a little bit had to sweat it out to grind the maize meal into millimeal, a very labor-intensive exercise, but the job had to be done. The mission station was destroyed during the civil war in Angola that lasted more than 20 years. When the mission station was destroyed by the rebels, manna stopped falling and only started falling again when the mission station was rebuilt. This is a living miracle, and all this shows us the presence of God. This Adventist mission station must be preserved by all means. On the day the mission station was dedicated to the Lord, manna fell like it has never happened before, and the community was terrified.
I was born in this place. I grew up in the same place, and from my childhood I've been witnessing this miracle of manna falling. But something which really troubled me, and it was a very big miracle, it happened in 2010. That year, after the mission has been renewed, there was a big miracle happening where manna fall in such quantities which we have never seen before. It fell actually from beyond that side of the church. It fell even up to the mountain. All the ground was covered with manna. This happened in a time when the mission has been renewed, and people were marveling. They were wondering, why is it that manna never fell in such a way, and it's falling in that way? People were afraid. He said we were to come out and call people to come and collect manna, but they refused. They were afraid because it was too much. The whole ground was covered with manna, so people were afraid coming out of their homes to collect it. And only little children came and collected it. When the information reached the union, Pastor Teodoro and Pastor Gilberto from Brazil and Pastor Sabino from Portugal. They came to witness the miracle because the manna was kept up to when they came, and they were shown what was really happening at this place. Manna fell as never before.
Sometime in the past, there was a famine around the area, and people had no food. They decided to fast and pray to God. By the late Pastor Seke was the district, was the director of the mission station. He was away, and only women were around, but no food. After 3 days of prayer, they received manna. A small girl came to this bush and found some things that looked like bread but white, and she met two men who said, "Take and eat." She ate and carried some back home. And when the parents saw her, they said, "What is it you are having in your hands?" She says, "I don't know, but I've eaten." They said, "Don't eat, throw." She said, "I've already eaten. The men that I met told me to eat." And they went to look for the men. They were not there. Those two men disappeared. And the people went and picked the manna and ate. And they were falling every day, except on Sabbaths. And this manna has been falling these days. It falls Wednesdays and Fridays, if it's not raining. Unfortunately, today, when we came, it rained in the night. But manna fell. We still managed to find a bit of it, and as evidence that it was there.
I don't have words to describe how I feel now. I can actually quote what another pastor said when he preached about manna, which the Israelites saw in the desert. And he said, when they saw it for the first time, they just questioned, "What is it?" And that's the same question I have now. What is it? Because I can't even describe it. It's a miracle.
There is a miracle within a miracle regarding the falling of manna at Namba Adventist Mission Station. When the church members are not in good standing order with the Lord, the manna that falls is not white, but is blood-like and very bitter.
The falling of manna has to do with the believers also around. If in this congregation, one of the believers is not walking well with God, the manna that will fall that week will be bitter, and that until there is a revival among the members.
It's also good to consider that when Valente was the administrator of this place, there was this time when he was living in sin. For that reason, manna fell, but this manna was no longer white as it is today. It was white and red. It was red and white. And for that reason, people tried to test it, and it was tasting bitter because the administrator of the place was living in sin. So from that point, we got to know that this manna really is God who sends the manna to this place. However, it is sweet as it is today. It is test as it is today only when God's children in this place stand in His word, live according to His principles. When someone somewhere among the people of this congregation live outward the church, when they live on their own way, not according to what the Lord's approved, the manna will fall, but it won't be eatable one. It will be bitter manna, and it will even change the color. It will be red manna. This white manna only falls when God's children stand in His word, when God's children live according to what He approves.
Testimonies here are really moving, that the Lord is a witness to our characters. He takes record and is concerned of our lifestyle, how we relate in secret and in public. He sees whatever is hidden. And so, like in the times of old, when Israel sinned against God, calamities came upon the land of Israel. And the same manner here, when this congregation, one person especially the leaders, go astray. They harbor some sin. Many people will suffer.
As we live in the last days, the miracle taking place in South Angola Union is a living testimony that the Lord is there and still cares for his people. For 34 Degrees South, I'm Noel Spanda reporting from Namba in Angola.
All right, welcome back to Spirit FM. And we are in Kumasi. This is Eben. I believe your perception has changed regarding the miracles of God that he did in the old times that we read in history. Exodus chapter 16. And they took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came unto the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after their departing out of the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, Woe to God that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots and when we did eat bread to the full. For we had, ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill us, this whole assembly, with hunger. Then said the Lord unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. And it shall come to pass that on the sixth day they shall prepare that which they have, which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. And Moses and Aaron said unto the children of Israel, At even, then ye shall know that the Lord hath brought you out from the land of Egypt. And in the morning, then ye shall see the glory of the Lord, for that he heareth your murmurings against the Lord. And what are we that he murmur against us? And Moses said, This shall be when the Lord shall give you in the evening flesh to eat, and in the morning bread to the full. For the Lord heareth your murmurings which ye hear against him. And what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord. And Moses spake unto Aaron, Say unto all the children of Israel, Come near before the Lord, for he hath heard your murmurings. And it came to pass, as Aaron spake unto the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked towards the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Spake unto them, saying, At even ye shall eat flesh, and in the morning ye shall be filled with bread, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God. And it came to pass that at even the quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay around about the host. And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness there lay small round thing, as small as the hoar frost of the ground on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said to one another, It is manna, for they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, This is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded. Gather of it every man according to his eating, an omer for every man according to the number of your persons. Take ye every man for them which are in the tents. And the children of Israel did so, and gathered some more, some less. And when they did met it with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating. And Moses said, Let no man leave of it till the morning. And notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto the Moses, but some of them left it until the morning, and it bred worms and stank, and Moses was wroth with them. And they gathered it every morning, every man according to his eating, and when the sun waxed hot, it melted. And it came to pass that on the sixth day they gathered twice as much as the bread, two omers for one man, and all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. And he said unto them, This is that which the Lord has said, Tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Bake that which you bake today, and seethe that which you seethe, that ye remain, that which remaineth over, lay up for you to be kept until the morning. And they laid it up unto the morning, as Moses bade, and it did not stink, neither was there any worm therein. And Moses said, eat that today, for today is Sabbath unto the Lord. Today ye shall not find it in the field. 6 days ye shall gather, but on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, in it there shall be none. And it came to pass that there went out some of the people on the seventh day for to gather, and they found none. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long refuse ye to keep my commandments and my laws? See, for that which the Lord has given you on the Sabbath, therefore he giveth you on the sixth day the bread for of 2 days. Abide ye every man in his place, let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. So the people rested on the seventh day, and the house of Israel called the name thereof manna, and it was like coriander seed white, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. And Moses said, this is the thing which the Lord commanded, fill an omer of it to be kept for our generations, that they which see the bread there wherewith I fed you with in the wilderness, when I brought you out from the land of Egypt. And Moses said unto Aaron, take a pot and put an omer full of manna therein, and lay it before the Lord, and to be kept for your generations. And as the Lord commanded Moses, so Aaron laid it up before the testimony to be kept. And the children of Israel did eat manna 40 years until they came to a land inhabited. They did eat manna until they came to the borders of the land of Canaan. Now an omer of the tenth part of an omer is the tenth part of an ephah. So Exodus 16, that gives a vivid description of what God did in the wilderness. And we listen to this. The video I'll put it on the Issues, Spirit Issues website. From YouTube, you can watch it. You can just search, what's the right words to search for? Miracle Manna Story from Angola. Yeah. This happened, I think this recording was uploaded 2014 or so. But I don't know if at the moment now, 2022, I don't know. But, you see, you heard it for yourself. You can watch it as well and see that we serve God that still does miracles. The reason for this is to help you to build your faith, that when you read something in the Word of God, we shouldn't relegate it to the point that, well, he did it for them. I mean, it's them, it's their time. It's past them, gone. God cannot do such amazing things again. But we've all heard it. If you watch it, if you really believe it, that is true. Indeed, God still does things. You know, when it comes to multiplying food and providing food miraculously and all, it still happens. God still does things. You know, most times we try to limit God and we question things and we doubt and all that. So that's the difficulty we have in accepting that God can still do miracles of old in our times. You know, and the reason why I play this is so that your perception of when you read Exodus 13, it's not like it's not possible that God provided for them quails and then bread. So protein and carbo, God was interested in God. You know, he knew what they needed to survive, and he gave it to them, you know. And we'll be talking about some of these things, the Word of God, as we go on in this series. This series is meant to challenge your faith, challenge you to start believing, not just believing the Word that you read, but accepting that you can also experience it when the need arises. You see, if you listen to it, the file that I played, well, this thing started based on prayer. some women prayed together with the pastor. You mentioned the name, and that was the beginning of it. See, so that means God heard their prayer. Because this was during the, you know, Angola's wartime and all those times and all. And see, of all, the interesting part is during the rebel activity for the 20 years that the war was going on and the building, the church, the mission ground was destroyed, it stopped. And when it was restored, it started again. You see, so God is God. He is in control. He does whatever he wants, and he can do whatever he wants to do. And you see, seriously, if I had watched it earlier, I mean, some years back when I went to Angola, I would have really gone to look for this place. I mean, seriously. But, you know, it's such an interesting thing to watch and see how it's not just about, you see, so you can imagine those people who have experienced this thing there in southern Angola, that town, that small place there, that mission ground. When they read the word of God, can you imagine their perception, their belief? Because it's not just like history for them. Because they are a living witness to it, that the word of God is true. So it's not like some imagination, trying to imagine something. They are experiencing God's word in their lives, real time. You see, so their whole understanding of God will be at another level because they've experienced God at a serious level. And I believe these are things to encourage us so that our perception, when we take the word of God and we are reading, let's have a renewed mindset. Let's have a refreshed attitude. It's not just that, oh, let me just take and read some history, something. Let me just read some history, something. Let's challenge ourselves that our perception of God's word will be at another level. Let's read every day. Challenge yourself. You read one miracle a day. Start reading to build your faith. You see, read it not as history. Read it as a possibility. Read it as something that was done, a report of something that was done, and something that can be done. You see, so that, you see, in building our faith, it's not just like, oh, well, they said God did it. Oh, well, some people said it, some people wrote it. We don't even know whether it's true or not. Let's put those doubts aside, those arguments and all those things, who wrote the word of God and all these funny things. It's men who wrote it, it's the white who wrote it, and let's forget about those things. It's the living word of God. If you believe it, let's now start believing what we read. So when we are reading it, it's not that you are reading it as history. You are reading it as an inspired word of God to increase your faith, to revive your belief in God. So let's approach it from a whole different mindset. So when we take the word of God, we have a renewed mind about the word of God. It's not history that you are reading. You are reading a living book of a God who can still do and is still doing miracles. You see, so when we change our mindset, we our approach to believing God's word is taken to another level. Our faith will grow in the word of God. Our faith will grow in the word of God. It's not a one-day process, but let's start it. That's the whole essence of this series I'm on. Let's increase our faith. Let's encourage ourselves in the word of God. As we read it, let's believe that it is possible. Let's believe that, yes, indeed, God did it. Let's not have doubts. Did he do it? Is it true? Is it an imagination? Is it an exaggeration of what has been written in the word? Did it really happen? No. If you believe that this living word of God is true, then believe the miracles in it. And as you believe in it, now let's put ourselves in it as to how possible it is for God to do these things in our lives if we live right and live according to his will. So let's encourage ourselves. Let's build our faith. Let's start that process. It's important because of the times. You know, we are in very, very peculiar time. We are in a season where the forces of darkness are just gathering and ganging up, preparing. The season is very evil, extremely evil. And it's in our interest as believers to be grounded in our faith, to build our faith now. Because, see, when the word of God talks of the fact that the love of many will grow cold, people, they will be falling away. I mean, a second Thessalonians chapter 2, they're falling away and all these things. It's believers who are going to fall away. It's believers whose love is going to grow cold because of the circumstances in the world, the difficulties and all that, the challenges that are coming and all. So, you see, when you see a storm coming and you prepare yourself and you are grounded ahead of time, yes, the storm will come, it will blow, but it will not blow you away. You see, so that's the reason why we should grow and build ourselves now that the conditions are right. Now that the conditions are perfect to grow in the Lord, let's take a serious advantage and do so, because this is the time. I mean, we are not being persecuted now. The conditions haven't gotten to the extreme stages. But unfortunately, some of believers, you know, we just waste this opportunity. We shouldn't. Let's rather make full use of these times. More time in the Word, more time in prayer, more time in the Word, more time in prayer as we equip ourselves, growing, 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 growing. Because we are going to need the type of faith that we are building on is going to be a pillar to hold on and to stand on in the times ahead. It's very, very important because, you know, weak faith is not going to help us in the times ahead. No, no, no. Weak. We cannot be weak. We cannot be weak. We should be strong. And it's important we put house in order. Let's grow together. Let's encourage our children. I mean, these things are all important. And I believe we can stand well when we understand the word of God well and believe in it. It will help us. It will help us because the word is the foundation that we are going to need in the times ahead. I think you can send your messages. Some have started, some have sent. 0244-638-757. 0244-638-757. You can send your messages, WhatsApp and SMS. This one says, this manna falls when the people live in holiness. When they sin, it becomes bitter. A word to the wise. Oh yes, it's quite interesting. Very interesting indeed. You know, the first time I saw this, I was, wow, God does wonders. Because you see, you sometimes you think some things are far-fetched, it's beyond our time, you know, but no, it's not beyond God. In our time, it's not. He is still the same God yesterday, today, and forever. He hasn't changed. He hasn't. No, 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 no. He's still capable of doing miracles. You know, if really we are to document things he's doing in people's lives and the miracles people are experiencing and all that, he's still doing serious and extreme miracles. Oh, yeah. Extreme miracles are still happening in people's lives. So, if you haven't experienced it or you are not experiencing it, do not doubt it. Rather, pray and trust God that he will take you to another level in believing him and in you experiencing him at another level and all that. Yes, let's not be negative. Let's be positive. Let's really stand in his word fully. And I believe as we do so, our faith will be grounded in him. I think I have a few minutes. Let me see if I can take one or two calls. While I did so, for the call, 0546 898888. 0546898888. If we have any caller, that will be fine. If not, we'll just be rounding up. And is in control. You know, if you read Hebrews 11, verse 6, it says, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And, you know, that's the important part of it. We need faith to please God. Without faith, we can't even please Him. And the reason why it will be difficult for people to please God and live right in the difficult times ahead and all that is because the faith will go down. Lack of faith, no faith, little faith, small faith. Faith is going to be an issue because then people will be having doubts, difficulties, struggling to accept that God is in control, struggling to believe the word of God, questioning God, doubting God, you know, all sorts of imaginations against God, and then ultimately quitting and walking out of the faith altogether. So it's important to really be fortified in our faith. Yes, we really, really be fortified, because to stand our ground to the end, it has to be by faith. Our faith should be strong to take us through the end, because the journey is going to get rough. I mean, the times ahead, that one is not scaring you, but it's the fact and it's the truth that we have to acknowledge and then live according to that, knowing that we need to be prepared for the rough days. Jesus warned us many years ago, so repeating it now is not out of place in the first place. It's not out of place because, for those who still, okay, I think we have one caller. Let me see if we can pick that one. Hello, good evening.
Hello, good evening, Chief.
All right. Yeah, you're on air, please. You're welcome. Your name?
Okay, my name is Nyamiche. I'm from Ebre.
Okay.
You see, when you mention about faith, it means it's like you finish me. Because faith is something that is very key to worship God.
Yeah.
When you have faith in God, it means you honor God.
Mm-hmm.
You respect God. And faith is not made by man.
Yeah.
Anybody who has faith is from God. So the person that you depend on him, when he tell you to do something and you don't do it, it means you don't regard him.
Mm-hmm.
Then how can he make it for you? He can't help you.
Yeah.
So faith is not something that you open the Bible and you pick whatever you want in the Bible and it's this my faith. No, that is the mistake.
Yeah.
You read the Bible, God will pick it for you. The Holy Spirit will lead you and pick it for you. And when you believe God, it means you glorify God, you respect God, and God will prove himself. Mm-hmm. You see, when Jesus Christ was alive on earth, anybody who comes to him for healing, he asked them one question. Do you believe I can do it? He said, yes. He said, take it. Take it. Yes. Paul was preaching and saw somebody who was crippled from the womb. This man was crippled from the womb. Mm-hmm. He became a boy, a man. Mm-hmm. And he was hearing Paul he was hearing the good news from Paul. Paul saw that this man had faith to heal him. So he said, get up, and the person get up. So faith is very, very crucial. It's a weapon.
Mm-hmm.
That we use to fight against the enemy and also advance our life, you know. So as a Christian, the one that we need is the word of God. Let God speak to us. He give us the Holy Spirit to give us the faith. And when you believe God, you see yourself like you're walking on the sea, on earth. Yes. Mm-hmm. So Yamisha Mebre.
Amen.
Bye.
You know, when we read Ephesians 6:16, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. You know, so we need the faith indeed. It's our shield against the enemy in these evil days where evil arrows are going to be fired all around us. So we need faith. We need faith. All right, I think my time is up. This is Eben, and it's been good having spent time with you this evening. I believe your faith is being charged and rekindled as we had this interesting miracle and all that. Okay, so the file will be on spiritissues.info and on the Telegram group, Spirit Issues. I'll also put the video link there so you can watch it yourself. So, thank you and God bless you for tuning in tonight. God bless you.